Revelation. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word, 21st chapter, the book of Revelation. We're going to start reading at verse number 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, but the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, I want to thank you for the precious word of God. I thank you for your goodness to us here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I thank you for your goodness to the children of men, how great you are, how good you are. And Father, this morning it is our desire that you be honored and praised in all that is said and done. We, Father, lift our voices up to you and praise your name and thank you for all that you've done for us. Now, once again, this morning, this preacher needs your power, needs your wisdom. And Father, we need also the Holy Spirit of God directing us as we preach and certainly as we listen. Father, may the Holy Spirit of God just be allowed to convict and do those things freely in this place today. And Lord, when it's all said and done, we'll thank you in the blessed, most wonderful, precious, sweet name of Jesus, our wonderful Savior. Amen. You may be seated. As you all know, the Bible is a wonderful book. It's God's Word. 66 books in the Bible. Before the book of Revelation, 65 books of God's Word. I call them books. It could be written also letters. But they're letters to us. They're books for us. The precious Word of God, giving us instruction, telling us truths, showing us the way of salvation, all of these wonderful things, telling us Christians how to live. We come to the book of Revelation, and my, what a revelation it is. I want to center in to this morning on two chapters. We can't cover two chapters, but I want to center in on two chapters. The very last two chapters in the book of Revelation. The very last two chapters that God had written to mankind. And it's amazing things, the blessings we find in these two chapters. The blessings of God are there, and he has so much to tell us and tells us many things over what he's already told us throughout the Bible, the Word of God. But we want to look at some things, and first of all, I want to begin by simply saying this. I think I've said this before, but it's always been amazing to me. It's something that is hard for me to understand humanly. It's amazing to me that God even wants us. It's amazing to me that God even wants to be around us. It's amazing to me that he would want to dwell with us. That to me is almost just unheard of. You're talking about a holy God that created everything that there is to be created, and when you look at his universe, that's astounding of how God created everything. Created every human being, created all those things, and he loves us and wants to dwell with us. That to me is just absolutely amazing. You remember back in the garden, we know that God was dwelling with him there. He came and his voice, the Bible tells us that they heard his voice walking in the garden. And of course, they went and hid after sin had come in. And we find, though, it says that they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. In other words, God was present with them. God loved them. From the very beginning of time, man's creation, God loved them and was present with mankind. We find when he instructed them to build the tabernacle, a place where his presence could be with mankind, he said, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell with them. What a tremendous thing. God still there in with Israel wanting to dwell with his people. We find also that when Jesus Christ came to this earth and took upon himself a body, that the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. To me, again, that's just amazing. Jesus Christ, God the Son, came and dwelt with us. Came to this earth and dwelt with us. Not only that, again, it's amazing to me that the Holy Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, would come after we are saved and come in us and dwell in us. We find that's what he says. He's speaking of the Holy Spirit of God. Says, "For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." It is amazing from the very beginning of time that you see from when they first made mankind, God's desire was to dwell with his people. Now, I don't know how you feel about that, but I think that's tremendous. I think that's just absolutely amazing. Look in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 4. "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither was his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands." And listen to this last sentence. "And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And here we find once again Jesus Christ wanting us not only to dwell with him, but to reign with him. For the 1,000-year millennial reign, he still wants us to dwell and to be with him. The text that I read to you in chapter 21, verse 3, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Folks, it is amazing truth that God wants to dwell with his people. That's astounding. That's amazing. I think it's one of the great truths of the Bible. So I say to you again, these are some of the things that he tells us here in the Word of God. In this portion of Scripture also, not only does he tell us that he's going to dwell with us, he's going to be with us, we're going to be his people, he's going to be our God, but he tells us some of the things that won't be around when we come to that eternal heaven. One of the things, the first things is, he says in verse number 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears," the Bible, "from their eyes." The Bible says there won't be those tears running down your eyes over some sorrow, some problem, some trouble that has come your way. He says those tears will be wiped away. He tells us also, "from their eyes, and there shall be no more death." We'll never ever again have to face this thing called death, which every one of us now look toward to some degree and wonder every time there's a doctor appointment if maybe this is the big time. You see, death is always before us. We wonder about it. We're not really scared of it because there's no sting in death because we know Christ, but yet death is real. But in heaven, they'll never have to face death. It's excluded. It isn't there. And then, of course, we find also, he says, "and no more, and neither sorrow nor crying." We'll put those two together. But the sorrow, folks, I probably more than likely, if I would ask most of you here today, if probably in the last week or 2 weeks or maybe even right now, there's some sorrow. I did not take the opportunity, and I should have, for Mrs. Wilfong. Mrs. Wilfong, we offer you our greatest, greatest sympathy for the loss of your great-grandchild. She just lost, I think it was 3 years old, is that right? Great-grandchild down around Louisville, I think it was Louisville. And she just lost a sweet little precious baby, or I call her baby, 3-year-old, that meant so much to her. That is sorrow. And I'm sure there was crying that went along with it. I'm sure that family suffered. But folks, in heaven, we'll never have to worry about it. And he goes on to say there'll be no more pain. Oh, some are raked with pain this morning. I don't usually say too much about it, but my wife's been raked with pain in her neck for some time, and it grieves me. She suffers that, does it constantly. Never says a word about it, but she suffers that, and there's others in this room right now who suffers with pain. And you carry it with you. In heaven, you won't have to. Brother Wayne Allheiser and I Friday was talking about that, Carol. We talk about the fact that back pain, he said, "One of these days I'm going to get a good body." And he said, "I won't have this old pain in my back." And he's got terrible pain, just operated on, back operated on. He had terrible pain. But one of these days, we'll never, ever again have to worry about that. Not only that, in Revelation, the 21st chapter, the 8th verse, he says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And folks, there'll never be no wickedness in heaven. I'm sure you feel the same way as I do. If you're a Christian here this morning, you get so sick and tired of wickedness that's around you. It's everywhere. You turn on the news and all they want to do is tell you about all the wickedness and try to okay it. But I get sick of it. I am so sick of wickedness that goes on around me. You see, but you are too. You see, in heaven, it won't be there. Never will be there, you see. Find also in verse 22 of chapter 21, he says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." Well, I'm going to tell you right now, some folk don't like to go to church. You don't have to go to church in heaven. You're just around it all the time. Son of God's there. The one we worship is there. Amen. I mean, you don't have no building you have to come into. Amen. You don't have to do that. No temple there. Why? The Lord God is there. We're in His presence constantly. Not only that, we find in verse 25, He tells us that, "And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there." I mean, there is absolutely no night in heaven. It's going to be daytime all the time. You don't need to sleep. You won't be sleeping. Amen. That's a waste of time. Amen. And in heaven, we won't have to worry about those things. And I'll tell you what, the environmentalist is going to like this one. Verse 27, it says, "And there shall no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever work of abomination or make of the lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." There won't be no pollution in heaven. Amen. I mean, anything that defileth is not going to be there, you see, because heaven is such a wonderful place. We find also down in verse number 3 of chapter 22, "And there shall be no more curse." There won't be any curse in heaven. It'll be gone. It'll be lifted. So I'm saying to you, isn't God in these two chapters telling us some wonderful things that we can look forward to? Folks, I want to tell you, that ought to thrill your heart. I'm serious about that. Oh, just get you excited about God and how good it is to know Him and what we got to look forward to in heaven. Then he tells us also about that new Jerusalem that's going to descend down out of heaven in verse number 2 of chapter 22, or excuse me, chapter 21, verse number 2. "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." We find also, and I'm going to go over and read it, we find out it's called Holy Jerusalem. I mean, it's holy. There's nothing there that will defile whatsoever. It's complete holiness because God is holiness. Her occupants are the bride's going to be there. You see, the Bible tells us that in verse 9 of chapter 21. "And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." See, she's going to be there. Not only that, in Revelation 21:12, it says, "And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel." The Old Testament saints are going to be there. We're going to be there. The bride, the Old Testament saints are going to be there. Look over in chapter 21, verse 27. "There shall no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Those who are written in the Lamb's book of life are going to be in heaven. Now listen, I'm going to stop there just a moment. Listen to me. You need your name written down in heaven. You need it in the Lamb's book of life or you can't go to heaven. See, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, understanding that you are a sinner, you are lost, you're just exactly what God says you are, you're no rotten sinner, and you say, "Oh God, I need salvation," and you look to Jesus Christ for salvation, you receive Him by faith, your name gets written down in the Lamb's book of life. Now you got to understand, if it's not written there, you won't go. But you also got to understand, if it is written there, you will. Amen. I like that part better. But anyway, you will for sure go to heaven if your name's written down in the Lamb's book of life. That can't be a maybe-so, hope-so situation. It's got to be a for sure situation, you see. Because God makes no mistakes. Say, "I'll slip in." No, you won't slip in. Name's not written there. You won't go to heaven. Amen. If it is written there, you will go to heaven. So we know the occupants are going to be there, those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And of course, in Revelation 21, verse number 11, it talks about the light. It says, "Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, and clear as crystal. Nothing will be hidden in heaven. It's complete light. No darkness there, you see. Oh, darkness speaks of Satan, you see, and his group. But this is light, which Jesus is the light of the world. We find also in verse number 25 of chapter 21, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And once again, you find out her gates will always be open. You know what? You know, the gates the closing of the gate denotes security. In other words, there has to be something you might be afraid of on the outside, so you close the gates. That's why you close your doors and you lock your doors of a night. But in heaven, the gates are open. Nothing to be fearful of. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to be afraid of, you see, whatsoever. So that's the way it's going to be in heaven. And then, of course, also we find her foundation. We're not going to read a lot about that, but we found the wonderful foundation, all the beautiful stones, the 12 foundations, the beautiful stones. And then, of course, we find out her size. The Bible tells us it's 1,500 miles each way, and also 1,500 miles up. Boy, it's going to be some big place. I looked that up somewhere, just to give you a close idea. From the East Coast to Denver is somewhere around 1,500 miles. I mean, that's just going to be the city. That's just one way. Amen. And it's that way up too. Amen. See, it's a wonderful place. See, heaven's going to be a tremendous place, wonderful place. And you want to go there. Amen. You don't want to miss it. You want to go there. So anyway, we find all those wonderful things that God has for us, the many blessings that God has for us there in heaven waiting for us. And some of those blessings, I want to give you some of those blessings. Now I want you to look with me in verse number 1 and 2 of chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river, a water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. One of the things I like about heaven is I like who's ruling. I like who's sitting on the throne. That's our great God. He's sitting on the throne. He's going to rule for all eternity. Government is important. You see, who's the head of your government? Boy, we ought to know that. Who's the head of your government? It's real important. Amen. And in heaven, I'll tell you who's the head of it. God's the head of it. He's sitting on the throne. That's a wonderful, wonderful blessing, you see, that God gives us. Look down in verse number 3. He says in verse number 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb of it shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Heaven's going to be a place of servants. It'll be wonderful to be a servant of God. See, all I want to do is lay around, just sleep and lay around. No. Heaven's going to serve. Going to be busy. Going to serve God. Great privilege of being his servant. It's a privilege to be a servant down here. Amen. But boy, just imagine what it's going to be about being in his presence and being able to serve God throughout all the ages of eternity. What a blessing. What a privilege that is, you see. And then also you'll notice in verse number 4 of chapter 22, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. You know, one of the things, one of the blessings is that we'll be able to see his face. See, they shall see his face. For we just talk about him now. We just talk about him. We know he's wonderful because the Bible tells us he is. But I mean, we'll be able to see him face to face. Look into the very face of Jesus Christ. And his name will be on our forehead. I want to tell you, that's ownership. I belong to him. He's got his name in my forehead. Amen. Won't that be wonderful? I mean, there's no doubt who's going to own us up there in heaven. Amen. He's the owner of it. And he's the God. He's the controller. He does all those things. And we'll be able to see his wonderful face just face to face. Amen. Bible says that. I believe it. We're going to see him. See, face to face. And then, of course, you look also in verse number 5. And once again, we mentioned, and there shall be no light there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. And once again, you notice of the wonderful light, no darkness. Darkness is gone, and the light, and God, his light, is going to be everywhere. Well, you won't need a light bulb. You won't need the sun. You won't need the moon. You won't need any of them. Just the light of God will light up that city, you see. What a marvelous, wonderful thing that it is, you see. And not only that, and look at verse number 5 at the end of it. It says, and they shall reign forever and ever. It's eternal. I mean ever and ever. It'll never cease. Folks, you and I have trouble understanding things that don't cease. Everything around us is just, you know, rusting away or comes to an end. Everything does. But folks, in heaven, eternal life will never cease. It'll never end. Now, that's just some of the blessings that God has. Now, what he says next in verse number 6 is very important. Look what he says. He says, "And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done." I want you to notice what he simply says. These things are absolutely true. What I've just said to you, what God had in his word for us, is true. Everything we talked about this morning, right now, is true. No doubt about it. No, it will come to pass. Amen? It'll absolutely come to pass. And look what he says in verse number 7, verse number 12, and verse number 20. He says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Look what he says in verse 12. "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be." Look in verse number 20. "He that which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly." Amen. "Even so come, Lord Jesus." I want you to notice there, he's affirming to us, reaffirming to us his coming. Three different times right here in this chapter, he says, "I come quickly." Behold, you better look, you better watch, you better listen. I'm going to come quickly. The coming of Jesus Christ could be at any moment. I mean, he could come today. He's coming quickly, he says. Three different times he tells us that right here in this chapter. What he's saying, he's warning to us, is this: be ready. I'm coming quickly. I'm coming again. Look for him, folks. Be ready for him. He's coming again. What a truth. Not only that, and look in verse number 7, at the end of verse number 7, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of this book." Now, what we're waiting on, what should we do? While we're waiting, what is it we should do? We ought to be busy. We keep the prophecy of this book. Folks, service is what we as God's people are supposed to do while we're waiting. Get a hold of that. Folks, if you're just sitting around doing nothing, not getting the gospel out, you're not doing what God tells you to do. Absolutely not doing what God tells you to do. We're to be busy. You may not be doing what Pastor Ross is doing, but you're to be busy. You're to get the Word of God out. You're to get that wonderful gospel out so people can hear the wonderful truth of the Word of God and get saved, you see. I'm going to baptize a little boy here in just a little while. Got saved last Sunday. Got response to the Word of God, and he got saved. He's going to come and be baptized because he got saved. Baptism isn't going to save him, but because he is saved, he's going to get baptized. Why should he do it? Well, it's right because God said to do that. You get saved, you're supposed to get baptized. Amen? It's what you're supposed to do. It's what the Word of God says we should do. But he got that away. He got saved in response to hearing the Word of God. No one ever told him the Word of God, he would not have got saved. Right. Amen? Now, I'm saying to you, what does God say for us to do? God says for us to be servants. We ought to be busy about keeping the prophecy of this book. We've got to do that, you see. We've got to be busy. It's not just enough to just get saved. You've got to be busy. You got to keep getting the gospel out. Get it out to other people. Use that telephone for something good once in a while. Instead of gossiping on it, get on there and tell someone about Jesus. Amen? Spend your time in writing a letter and telling someone how to be saved. Spend your time, you want, while you're walking somewhere, to stop in a neighbor, into a neighbor's house and tell them how to be saved. Get the gospel out, you see. Folks, that's God's Word. He tells us we ought to keep the prophecy of this book. Get it out. Not just enough to get saved. It's right to serve God after we are saved, you see. And then also, he gives us a warning here. In the last of chapter 22, he gives us a warning. It says in verse number 18, he says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." Folks, listen to that verse of Scripture and listen very closely what God's saying. I hear people saying all the time, I say, "Well, God says this," and it ain't nothing to what God says. You don't want to walk around adding to the Word of God. You want to be careful what you say God says. You see, and we got all our little ideas. Well, God means this, and God says, God says it's dangerous to be adding to His Word. Amen? Don't you add to the Word of God. He says all these plagues will be added to them that do that. So don't add to the Word of God. We can make a big mistake taking from the Word of God. We can add to it and add, put things in there that isn't there. You know, the baptismal regeneration crowd is adding to the Word of God. They're saying it's through baptism that you get saved. It's not through baptism you get saved. Baptism's a wonderful thing. It's right, good. But you don't get saved through baptism. No. You add to it when you do that, you see. And you add to all these other things. You work salvation. You work. Oh, I know. I'm dealing with a person, you know, right now concerning that. You know, you got to work to get saved. I mean, you know, boy, I know. I know it's Christ, but I got to work to get saved. No. You can't work to get saved. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He saved us. Not by works of righteousness we have done. By His mercy He saved us. You see, it's always that. It's always God that does it, you see. So we don't add to the Word of God, you see. It's a dangerous thing. And then He says in verse 19, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in His book. Now, folks, listen, when you see that God says He takes His part out of the book of life, that doesn't mean His name was written down in the book of life and God took it out. The part where it should have been, where God wanted it to be, was taken away. You don't take a person out of salvation. Once you get saved, you're in His family forever. And absolutely nothing can change that. But the main important thing is be sure that you're in His family. Be sure that you're born again. So there's a warning here in the Word of God. God gives the last warning here. And He warns us about that. Don't you add to the Bible. Don't you add to the Word of God. And don't you take away from the Word of God. It's just exactly the way God wants it. And He don't need us fooling with it. He doesn't need us revising it. Doesn't need us to have new translations. Got the old King James Bible right here before me. That's what God left for us. It's here. It's the Word of God. We don't need all this other stuff. No. You add to it. You take away. We don't need that. Say, I know, Brother Ross, but I need something to read easier. No. What you need to do is just get close to the Lord and let Him open up what His Word is, and He will do that for you. He's not going to do it all overnight. He's going to do it on a continuous basis through preaching, through studying, through you reading and the Holy Spirit of God. And let me encourage you there. Let the Holy Spirit in on your reading of your Bible. Invite Him into your heart and say, I know He's already there, but invite Him into your reading and say, help me to understand Your Word. You see, and God will do that. You say, but there's things I don't understand. That's all right. Read them and wait. Let God help you as you study. God will do that for you. See, so we don't need new translations. We just need the Holy Spirit teaching us the Word of God, the truth of God's Word. That's what we need. So we don't need to add to the Word of God. We don't need to take away from the Word of God. We just need to study the Word of God. Now I want to show you also in verse number 20, the last prayer of the Bible. He says, He which testifieth these things, saying, surely I come quickly. Now that's Jesus saying that. He's testified these things and He said, I'm coming and I'm coming quickly. And listen to the response that John gives to this statement. He says, amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus. The very last prayer in the Bible is a prayer saying, Jesus, come. Even so, come. We've been accused sometimes, we Baptists that preach about the coming of Jesus, we've been accused sometimes just wanting to get out of our troubles, so for Jesus to come, just get out of our troubles. Well, I want to tell you what, I've got troubles, I've got heartaches, I carry burdens that I don't enjoy carrying. I'm going to look forward to Jesus lifting them. I'm not trying to get out of anything. I'm just going to look forward to Jesus coming. I want Him to come. And I can say with John, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I can say that truthfully and honestly and pray for Jesus to come. And I believe that's what we ought to be doing. The very last prayer of the Bible is saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Couldn't our hearts say that? Listen, folks, He ain't going to come before it's right anyway. He's going to come exactly when it's ready. There's a time appointed when He's going to come. And I do believe that soon. I'm looking for Him, aren't you? I believe Jesus is coming soon, and I look for it, and I pray for the coming of Jesus Christ, just like John did. I want Him to come. What a prayer that is. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now, let me ask you a question. Sitting right where you are, can you honestly, down deep in your heart, just simply under your breath, with honesty, say, Lord, I want You to come. Or would you have to say, well, there's some things I need to get straight. There's some things I really need to get straight before you come. Amen. There's some things I really need to get my life back where it ought to be. I don't think you'd be real pleased with me the way I am. Now listen to me. If you're not saved, you certainly are not going to want him to come. Amen. But you know what? You can be saved right here in these services today, like multitudes of other folk have been. You can just come, let us take God's word, show you how to be saved, take the Bible, lead you to Christ, show you how you can accept Christ as your Savior. You can become a child of God right here in these services. Be born again. Amen? And if you're here as God's child, and there's things that's just not right in your life, don't you know there's an altar right up here, and it's a wonderful place to come and cry out to God and say, God, forgive me of my sin. And do you know the Bible tells us He will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness? Isn't that a wonderful God? Isn't He good? You see, Jesus could come today. Do you believe that? I mean, do you really believe it? You really believe it in your heart? Then you want to meet Him, you see, on good grounds. Especially you want to meet Him saved, born into the family of God. If you are a Christian, you want to meet Him, being ready to meet Him. The Word of God and all the promises and the blessings that You've given us. And Father, once again today, I ask You to take this, Lord, and use it to Your glory. Father, if there's any here without Christ, I pray, O God, that they'll just simply receive You today, put their faith and trust in You. Lord, let the Holy Spirit of God convict them of their sin and their need of Christ. Then, Lord, as we as Christians, Father, I pray also that we'll be a group of people that'll be looking and ready for You, and, Lord, that we'll be clean before You. And so I pray, God, if there's anything in our lives this morning, we'll take it to You, and, Lord, get it forgiven and cleansed in the precious blood of Jesus. Now we thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.